Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Welcome back to 1514. It's a pleasure to have you with us as always. Thanks so much for those of you who listen regularly. I encourage you to tell others about 1514, whether you watch it on our Vimeo channel or you listen via podcast. We're always appreciative of everybody who listens and gives us feedback as well. I encourage you to go on and rate wherever you listen or watch. Go ahead and rate the podcast and be sure to share it with friends. Today I have a guest with us that's coming from a unique ministry, and I wanted to share this ministry with you and show you, our listeners, how you can utilize the gifts that God's called you in biblical counseling in a very unique and challenging environment. So today my guest is Rochelle Starr, and she's the executive director and founder of a ministry called Scarlet Hope. And Rochelle, thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So Rochelle, can you introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about how you came up with this idea and what is Scarlet Hope?
Sure. He said, I'm Rochelle Starr, and I founded an organization called Scarlet Hope about a little over a decade ago. And how I got into this was simply because when I was about 21 years old, I was in a place in my life where I just wanted God to call me to a people. I didn't honestly care where it was. It could be Africa, it could be to the ends of the earth. I just truly wanted God to call me somewhere. And I was just simply driving down the road, going to work one day when the Lord spoke to my heart and called me to women in the sex industry as I was driving by a XXX theater. I honestly, most of you, did not know what went on there. I had maybe judged them. I really had no idea what it was. And when I felt the Spirit of God prompt me to go and share the gospel with women in the sex industry, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that this was God's plan, His story, because I had no idea what that would be like. So we started that in 2007.
So how did you come up with the name Scarlet Hope for your ministry?
So about 6 months into the ministering to women in the industry, it became very clear that this is what I was going to spend the rest of my life doing, and that this was going to have a much more profound impact than I had set out to do. So one Sunday evening, I was reading through scripture, and I was reading through Matthew, and came across a scripture where Jesus had been stripped of his clothing and mocked and beaten, and they put a scarlet robe around him. Hmm. And I instantly, in that picture, God gave me through scripture of the hope of the blood of Christ, and that the scarlet robe really represented, for me at least, in that moment, the blood of Christ covering our sins, covering our shame and guilt. And so much of that in the industry is what women feel, is shame and guilt. And so I wanted to go with that message of hope to women in the sex industry. So I told my husband, the name of the ministry is going to be Scarlet Hope. And he said, let's pray about it. And I said, well, I know that this is what the Lord's calling me to. So, okay, we'll pray about it. Thursday night, we serve home-cooked meals in clubs. And we went into the club, and we set up a really nice meal for the ladies. We served them. And I saw a woman across the bar, and I noticed she was kind of staggering around. And I didn't know if she was a dancer or if she was, you know, what she was doing there, but I went over and approached her for food. And she said, how much does it cost? And I said, it was free. And she said, well, you know, I am actually here. I've never been here before, but I'm here to work because I can't feed my 5 children at home. And someone told me I could make money quickly to feed my kids. So here I am. And when I got here, they told me that I was going to have to dance nude. So I've never done that before. So I got a little bit drunk And intersection is us. And this is the intersection where she's kind of tipsy, going to try to work. And we come in with food, simple thing that everybody needs. So I invite her to eat with us. And right as I invited her to eat with us, she came over to the table and started eating out of the pans of food. She was so hungry. And in that moment, my friend leaned over to me and said, Rochelle, I think she might get sick because she's really drunk. And she ended up getting sick all over me. And in the moment, and I'm telling the story because in the moment that she got sick, immediately she looked at me and said, will you pray with me? As I grabbed her hands to pray with her, she fell to her knees to the floor and started crying out to God to save her. Now, one of the things that I always tell is that we don't go in with, you know, Bible thumping or shirts that say we're Christians or anything. We simply go in with the light of Christ. That is our message, is that we're here to not condemn you or judge you, but to bring you hope and the good news. And so she was praying with me. We stood up. The owner of the club came over and said, ma'am, not to me, but to the dancer, said, you're being distracting and you're going to need to leave. And she looked at me and she said, I don't care that I have to leave. I feel so much hope. And I thought, there's that word that we like, you know, that God wants to give her hope for a better future, but also for eternal life. And we walk her out to the car. We had packed up all the food for her and her children, walked her out to a taxi. And I looked at her and I said, I don't know your name. And she looked up at me and she, with a smile, she said, my name is Scarlett. And she drove away and we honestly never saw her again in the industry. And I truly believe that was God's confirmation on our ministry here in Louisville.
Wow. That's fantastic. How far into the ministry did that happen?
About 6 months.
So you're driving along one day and just praying that God will give you some people to minister to. And you have this idea driving by a strip club or by an adult theater. And 6 months later, you're having this experience. How did you start the ministry, and what does it actually look like? How do you reach out to these women?
So I started researching, praying, fasting, researching about what did the industry look like in my city. Louisville had the fifth largest adult entertainment industry per capita in America. And I started learning what that was like. One thing I'm very convinced of is that Jesus calls us to go. And so I knew that no matter what I was going to do with this population of people, that I had to go to them. And so I started praying and fasting with other women, of friends of mine, to outside of the clubs, for God to open a door. And it took about a year and a half of doing that every single week before God opened the first door. So what the ministry looks like, even to this day, 10 years later, is we go into strip clubs, we go into massage parlors, we have street outreach ministry now, and we bring meals to these women and the men that work in the places. And the hope is not only to share the gospel, but then to build relationships with them where we can begin a discipleship opportunity. And so today it looks very different. We have a huge discipleship program where we're actually employing women out of the adult entertainment industry so that they can both get the care and the counseling that they need, but they can also provide for their families, because 80% of them are single mothers and they have to be able to work to provide for their kids.
Yeah. Wow. So that's fantastic. So when you started, it was just your idea. This was a brainchild that happened with you. How many people, when you began the ministry, were working with you in the early days?
Well, besides my husband, just about three. I would say that in the first 2 years of doing this, I hit every roadblock with the church that you could possibly imagine. People did not at all support what we were doing. But when they started seeing women in a truly revival of women leaving the industry and lives were being transformed, people started to notice. And but yeah, it was just me, my best friend, my husband, her husband, and a couple of other people that really believed in what God had laid on my heart.
Wow, that's incredible. When you went to churches and they were hesitant, they were resistant, what were some of the common themes running through their hesitancy?
Yeah, one of the major ones was there's a sign outside. If they want to come here, if they want help, they know where to come. Another one was, this is their choice. They chose to do this, which I have learned that is very opposite of what I've experienced. And a third one that I would run into specifically with churches was that going into the industry was going to somehow change me, or I was going to become like them, or all the Christians that went with me were going to become like them.
Yeah.
And nothing could be more further than from the truth, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, praise the Lord that that's not the case. And I'm glad that you've gotten some momentum. And now 10 years into the ministry, what is your staff, volunteers, what does your team look like now?
Yeah. So our ministry is made up of about 380 volunteers. We have 25 staff, and we have a social enterprise that, like I stated before, hires the women out of the industry. But then we have a huge care program, is more or less what I'd call it, where they can receive counseling and resources. And it tries to get to much deeper levels of, why did they go into this? What happened in their life? And then, of course, we have a couple of facilities now that do different things. And our hope is that 10 years later, our hope is that that not only, like, I do care that women work in the sex industry, but more importantly, where they work doesn't matter as much as who they believe in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's really, 10 years ago, I was like, we're going to rescue every woman in the sex industry. But the reality is not everybody wants to be rescued. Mm-hmm. And so we truly, our heart's desire is that their hearts would truly come to know Jesus Christ and that they would give their lives to Christ. And then we know that that transforms everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So 10 years ago, you got a lot of hesitancy. It's you, your husband, and a few friends going around trying to raise awareness and get some support and help. 10 years later, it's a different story. Culturally, I think people are a lot more aware of the sex trade, really. I mean, through popular movies and other things like that, people are aware of human trafficking and other things like that. And maybe they don't see the overarching picture of the sex industry, and that strip clubs, massage parlors, these books, adult bookstores, adult film, all those things are all interrelated, and they overlap and they connect with one another. How do you help people see that connection? Because I think some people think, I'm going to go rescue girls who are kidnapped and get them back to their families. But the industry as a whole is intertwined. How do you explain that to people?
It takes a long time to explain that to people. We don't have enough time on this podcast.
Okay.
Honestly, I always start with helping to educate people and making them aware that the people in the industry, no matter where they're at, whether it's a human trafficking victim or they were a dancer in a strip club, mm-hmm. they're people.
Yeah.
And there's this, whether it's from the Christian population or the secular population, there's always this, that these women behind pornography, these women behind the industry aren't really people. And so being able to bring stories and people actually to the surface for like this context or other people that they can put a face to, a name to, that's where I start. But then more importantly, seeing the intersection of all of these areas, many people say to me, well, sex trafficking is very different than stripping. But if people understood that 70% of women were trafficked through strip clubs, they wouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just about educating people on, you know, how people get to these situations. How does, and typically it goes back to trauma in life. Every single woman, 98% of the women we have served in our ministry have been sexually abused as a child. Mm. So there's tons of education, you know, tons of ignorance out there, but just, it's just people don't know, you know, and I didn't know before I started this either. So just educating people, bringing, the people in this industry to life for people like you and me, I think is the most important thing.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the central point of it, is that they are people. And it kind of goes back to that misunderstanding that you said some churches had, where it's their choice. They Yes. went into it because they wanted to. And I think Scarlett's story, as well as just the reality of the people you work with, is that, and you mentioned the statistic, the majority of women are going there not out of a desire to be naked in front of men, but because they feel like there's no other option. Right. To provide for their families, and that's not, that's bondage one way or another.
Absolutely.
And the real hope is Jesus, which is awesome that's the, at the core of your ministry. One of the ways I became more aware of your ministry, I heard about it when we moved here to Louisville, but we have a couple interns here at the BCC who also intern with you. What does their, you said they go out throughout the week and they bring meals and they just talk to these ladies, but what does the ministry look like, and how does somebody get involved from contacting you and saying, hey, we want to help? What are the stages that you walk them through?
Yeah. So, now after we've been doing this, we get a lot of just calls. Our number's been out there, you know, I don't know, 500,000 times, so that the more that they know there are opportunities for them, the more calls we get, the more opportunities we get to minister to them. So they call, we have an intake process. So our program director, our case managers do all of our intakes, and they evaluate where the readiness of a woman, they evaluate what is her needs. We are constantly using baseline resources such as food, water, clothing, connections to shelter as a tool to build our relationship with someone. And then we also offer counseling for anyone that comes to us that needs that resource. And we have, you know, students that are interning, getting hours doing counseling for us, all the way to licensed therapists. And so depending on what that woman needs, we just assess the situation, figure out what is best for her. It truly is individualized, because every woman has a different story, a different background. Quite frankly, if she's a single mother, different needs. Mm-hmm. And so we rely very heavy on case management and counseling in our ministry, to kind of build relationship.
So Rochelle, can you tell me what are some of the ways that you utilize the volunteers and staff to minister to the women that Scarlet Hope reaches?
Yeah. So our outreach team has several aspects. There is street outreach, there's massage parlor outreach, and strip club outreach now. And then we also work with a human trafficking task force and different avenues for human trafficking as well. But then beyond that, we have a whole host of team of cooks that cook for Scarlet Hope. We have a program Monday through Friday that involves classes. So if you teach any subject, we will be interested to talk to you to see if it fits within our curriculum. And so that's everything from finance classes, to parenting, to addiction support, all of those types of things. We Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, we have classes for women. We also have a kids program. So our Hope for Kids program impacts the children of the women that are in our program. So our desire for that is to meet the little kids wherever they're at and start to instill in them foundations, godly foundations, so that the likelihood of them going down the same path as mom or dad is a lot less. Yeah. So there's many prayer teams. We do prayer drives all around the city. We have, of course, our internships that we offer. there's really a variety of things, events team, you know, things like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's quite a lot of opportunities there. So if people are listening or thinking through, I just wanted them to have ideas of how they might be able to get involved. Yeah. Now your focus is primarily towards the women in the industry. Are all of your staff and volunteers female?
Most of them, yes. Our Scarlett's Bakery, that is also another way to serve. We have volunteers that serve in the social enterprise all the time. But we do hire men for that role. You know, we're not opposed to men by any stretch of the means. It's just a little bit more difficult. And there are men's teams that are volunteers, and they help us with doing street ministry. So they drive, they do different things like that. And handyman business in a women's ministry is always a bonus.
That's good. That's good to know. Yeah, that's good to know. That was one of the questions I was curious about too, was just with the safety issue. You know, one of my interns was telling me, yeah, I volunteer at Scarlett's Hope. And she was telling me, yeah, I go in the middle of the week, take food to women in strip clubs. And kind of the dad in me is, you know, reared up and like, well, how are you being safe? And how, you know, all that, those kind of questions that I'm sure naturally come up. How do you handle those kind of questions, those kind of issues?
So, a couple of things. We started out with security teams. So every time I went to the club and I brought my team, my husband, several of the other husbands would sit outside across from the club in case we needed them. They did this for 4 years. And then our reputation in the industry was so strong and so trustworthy that the bouncers and the owners of these establishments started protecting us. So literally they came to our car, picked up our stuff, brought us inside, and then walked us out again as we left. And so that became sort of the men's security team kind of became irrelevant. And my husband was, you know, we felt very comfortable with that. In 10 years, by the grace of God, we've had no safety issues. Hmm. But we do protect ourselves with ongoing training through, self-defense training. Sorry. Hmm. Self-defense training. We do a lot of, security trainings where, if this issue arises, this is what you do and protocols like that. The other thing is that the police in Louisville, they know who we are, they know what we do, and they're protective of us as well. So it's been a really cool thing to see how God's really kept us in his hands. And truly, we've never had a situation that was going to bring us into harm.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's amazing. And it's good to hear. As your ministry's grown here in Louisville, have you expanded to other locations?
Yeah, we are in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're in Reno, Nevada, and Las Vegas.
Wow.
So we have 4 sites that are called all Scarlett Hope sites. And our newest one is Las Vegas. And we are watching God do absolute amazing things there. Obviously, everybody thinks of that industry when they think of Vegas, mm-hmm. But actually, it's very comparative to Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So Louisville is now the 9th largest industry. We went up 4, and Vegas is in the 14th, 15th largest industry per capita. So it's very... God is just moving on churches there to bring gospel-centered ministry to the sex industry there in Vegas, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that's encouraging. On that note, how can and how do churches partner with you, and how can more churches partner with you?
Yeah, there's obviously a variety of ways. I mean, we never turn down money, I'll say that much. But you know, even more so, something that's very important to me is we are a bridge to the local church. We are a parachurch organization. We do not try to be the end all be all. The best success story that I can give you is a woman who I met in the clubs, and 5 years later, she is an active member of a local church here, Christian, Bible believing, gospel centered church, and is giving and is an active member of that church. That's the ultimate goal for us, as far as her journey. And so churches we desperately need churches to understand our ministry and where we come from, they come from, so that when women come into their community, they are not shamed again. They're not, you know, that they, it's a safe place. So churches can partner with us in being a safe place for women to come to church, in finances, in volunteering, in resources. We serve about 10,000 meals a year. All of that comes from church support typically. So there's just a lot that can happen through the years, but on different sites, Vegas, Reno, Cincinnati, those are newer ministries. And so church support is very needed and is crucial and vital for those to survive in those cities.
That's good to know. Yeah, we have partner ministries and biblical counselors in those areas too. So I will be putting the word out for them to look forward and connect with you all as well. If a church was maybe in a city or a place that doesn't have Scarlet Hope, are there other ministries similar, or is there a way for them to begin a chapter of Scarlet Hope where they are?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's how we kind of do it. We have a training and resources conference that happens every July. And when people can come to that conference, it's called the Healed Conference. It's through our Scarlet Hope Network. And we begin pouring in, giving the proper tools that they need to start this type of ministry. But then when they realize, like, you know, I don't necessarily want to reinvent the wheel, I want to be part of you all, then we have a whole host of things that we go through with them. There's a lot of intensive coaching, a lot of intensive training that happens and that we offer each site. And then eventually when the Lord opens the door for the ministry to start in that city, we kind of seed it and plant it and then help along the way coach and do that. So my primary way of people getting involved in our network now is through our Healed Conference. Okay. So we ask people to come to that.
Yeah, that's great. That's good to know. And there's no commitment if they come to that conference to start a chapter of Scarlet Hope. They could go back and start their own thing, or like you said, partner with you and get a lot of the other benefits from further training with you. That's good. That's good to know. So if people, there's a lot of questions I could ask, and I think it's a great ministry. Especially with biblical counselors, our heart is to see people come to know Jesus and to be transformed, be like him, which is right up your alley. You just have a particular sector of the population that you're able to reach into. But just kind of wrapping up, what's your website? How can people connect with you there? And then how can people be praying for you?
Yeah. Our website, scarlethope.org, Scarlet's with one T. Everybody puts two T's and they say they can't find it. Scarlethope.org. There's scarletsbakery.org if you would like to check out our social enterprise. That's a way. And then the Healed Conference is scarlethopenetwork.org. And so those are our websites you can connect to us on. And then, you know, I just want people to continue praying that God opens the hearts of the women we continue to reach, because you and I both know that unless God opens their hearts to receive the word and the gospel, that not that it's not purpose or it's not a good thing, but we truly just want to see them come to know the Lord. And so when I ask for prayer, I mean, that's my heart's prayer, is that God will continue to do that. And he has done that hundreds and hundreds of times already. And by his grace, we've been able to be witnesses of that. But that's our number one prayer, is that God will continue to do that across the entire industry of the nation and of the world, really.
Yeah, amen to that. do you have a spot where people can go and kind of look at the stats of what the sex industry looks like, but also the fruit that you've seen through Scarlet Hope?
So there's some statistics on our website a little bit. We just went through a website redesign, so we don't have everything up there. But if people want to email us and get information, all of our contact information's on there. We're happy to give. I love collaboration. I truly believe that What I have seen God do in 10 years with this industry and with Christians in particular coming to this industry and bringing the gospel is remarkable. And I think we all need to sort of join together to make God known in this industry. So we are happy to talk to anybody that needs additional resources or statistics.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I will encourage everybody to pray for, you know, if the Lord lays on your heart that you want to help in this work, reach out to Scarlet Hope, Scarlet with one T, hope.org, and connect with them, support them. If the Lord lays on your heart to give financially, if you want to volunteer, whatever, or think further about it, pray that the Lord would encourage many people to reach out in this endeavor. So Rochelle, we have a segment at the end of every episode called 2 Minute Favorites, where it's just a fun way for our audience to get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this? So Rochelle, what's your favorite food?
Pickles.
What's your favorite gift you've ever received?
My son.
Favorite gift you've ever given?
Oh, I gave my husband a trip to, to London, England. And we loved it. It was so amazing.
What's your favorite word?
Oh my goodness. I didn't think about this one. My favorite word is, I'm just going to say scarlet.
All right. That's a good one. What's your favorite color?
Black.
What's your favorite book of the Bible?
Esther.
What's your favorite extra biblical book?
Redeeming Love.
What's your favorite sport?
Football.
Favorite sports team?
The Buffalo Bills.
Favorite Bible verse?
Matthew 27:28.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Dark chocolate.
Favorite candy?
Oh, I don't eat candy, but I would say hot tamales.
Okay. Favorite quote?
I'm just going to say anything by Corrie Ten Boom because she's one of my favorite authors.
All right. Favorite restaurant?
That you all would know. Oh, you might be in Louisville. Wild Eggs is one of my favorite restaurants.
All right. If you had one superpower to choose, what superpower would you pick?
I've thought of this one. Teleporting. I really want to be in Hawaii right now.
And if your mother would describe you in one word, what word would she use?
Oh, energy, energetic.
All right. Well, that wraps up our time. Rochelle, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for following the Lord's leading into this great ministry.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.